Welcome to CMC Radio. I'm your host, Rob May, and with me today is Amity Buxton of the Straight Spouse Network. Amity, welcome back.
Thanks. Good to be back.
And how have you been since the last time we spoke to you about 2 weeks
ago?
Oh,
I've really totally recovered from the bronchitis, I think.
Good to hear. Good to hear. Perfect for radio, right?
Right.
Okay. So why don't we get right into it?
Okay.
Why don't you share with us a little bit about your background. Let's familiarize our new audience today with who you are and a little bit about, how you came to be.
Okay. Well, I was born in Boston. My ancestors fought in the Revolutionary War, all that patriotism. Then I moved to a little town outside of Manhattan that was very exclusive. So I was, it was great. It was wonderful. Great playmates, great two-room schoolhouse, top of the line education when I moved to the outside of Manhattan school. Then I went to college, Connecticut College for Women, and then Marymount College, and then Teachers College, and boy, did I meet a range of people, and that started me on my way to. The timing was great, because by the time I was teaching out at San Francisco State, the schools were desegregating, so there I was training teachers to teach desegregated classrooms, multi-ethnic, first time in their lives.
Wow, that's a very interesting time.
And the next thing I knew, there was gay liberation, all this stuff going on, and I guess I was just made to leap in and help all these socially active movements.
Absolutely, that sounds like a very exciting time.
It was. The 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s were very exciting.
And so how would you say the times and living through this, what'd you take away from it? What kind of influenced, where you are today?
Well, I was in there teaching classrooms that were desegregated, so I was living the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
And then when my husband came out in the early 80s, I was right there in the whole gay liberation movement and all the AIDS crisis and so forth. So it wasn't influencing me. I had to, I was part of it. I was part of it. So
it was thrust
all
upon
my resources
you
up.
Right,
I found myself in it. And so all my resources and training were apparently just perfect.
And so how long were you married before your husband actually came out to you?
25 years.
25 years, wow.
Yeah, he was.
And it must have been.
By the time he came out and told me that he was gay, that he'd had a gay lover whom he jilted to marry me, because in the Catholic Church you're supposed to marry a woman, not a man, by the
right.
time that came out, I kind of laughed it off as a soap opery because it answered all my questions.
Absolutely. And I remember from our first episode, you said that there were plenty of signs that you kind of, read that were telling you something was going on.
Well, yeah, he started changing his clothes, his wardrobe style, and he'd just got more and more distant. He just changed his whole behavior toward me. So I knew something was going on, but I had no idea this.
Right. And so how long after that did it take you to kind of overcome all the emotions that go along with that?
Well, I decided I was working, as I said, in desegregated multi-ethnic schools.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided I had been involved with a number of support groups in this area and the Bay Area of San Francisco. And I realized that really what's important is sharing stories. That's how you get through it. So
sure.
In 86, I took early retirement to write my first book, The Other Side of the Closet, The Coming Out Crisis for Straight Spouses. So that got me listening and so forth. But it took me, and it takes most spouses, 3 to 6 years to really find who you are. In fact, it's a great discovery. In a way, it's this thing prompts you to become much stronger and more understanding and much more resourceful.
Absolutely. And so with the Straight Spouse Network now, just refresh everyone briefly about how that came to be.
Okay, one of the people I interviewed for the book was a woman named Jane Bonnard, who had started a task force for an organization called Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, PFLEG. And when the book was published, she said, Amity, why don't you take over the task force? Well, having been used to working in networks where everybody's sort of teamwork in this whole business of improving schools, I decided, oh, well, let's make this a network of peer support, spouse-to-spouse, and resource research-based information to help them understand the situation and, you know, forget all the misinformation out there, and so they can understand it and
sure.
move forward.
Sure, and as far as the research goes now, again, just mention where you actually get a lot of your research from.
Well, it's my research. I'm about the only one doing it.
Right, but where
do you typically... I do, it's called a phenomenological approach. That's what I did for The Other Side of the Closet. And that means you interview, talk, look, observe, and then you do a content analysis of all your notes and transcriptions to see what are the major themes, what are the major concepts, what are the major emotions, and so forth, and what's typical. So my research has been into couples who stay together, how they make it, people who, is it answering the question, is it a problem of sexual addiction, how straight spouses get through it, how later on we can talk about how men and straight husbands and straight wives do react differently when their husbands
Absolutely.
Or wives come out, and so forth and so on. So that's what the research has been, and it's been really, really helpful because it helps them understand.
Absolutely. And so what's the overall mission of the Straight Spouse Network?
The overall mission is to let straight spouses and couples going through this know they're not alone. But the actual realistic mission is providing peer support. So
mm-hmm.
they're not doing this alone. They can pick up what they need from other spouses going through the same thing. And to provide them with factual information so they can deal with it realistically. And I think the business of feeling that they're not alone, there is hope. I think I told you a story once about the woman that called me about 5 o'clock in the morning from Florida, and I listened and listened and listened and listened. And 2 hours later, she said, oh, thank you, Amity. I can now pick myself off the kitchen floor and put the pills back in the bedroom.
That's right. Sometimes all it takes is an ear to share your story
mm-hmm.
with, you know?
That's right. So we provide ears.
That should be the new mission statement. And so in terms of some of the most common questions that you are presented with as someone that's dealing with this fresh, you know, what are the first kind of questions that you're used to hearing out of people?
What do I do next? What's wrong with me? That's it. They're kind of paralyzed. The rug's
mm-hmm.
been pulled out from under them. They don't know what to do. They don't know who they are. And sometimes the gay or lesbian who's come out has been struggling so long and finally with his freedom can act in a not very responsible manner, which has nothing to do with being gay, and can calm down after a while. But when they call, they say, oh, my God, I just discovered this, and what do I do? And
right. And then so how do you guys, more than just lending an ear, are there other ways that you guys at the Straight Spouse Network actually, you know, will take on people and try to show them different avenues
Mm-mm.
of help or
Mm-mm.
getting help?
No. The network won't, but the individual
Okay.
spouses that form the network will. So we put them in touch with the nearest support group or the nearest,
Sure.
nearest state contact or the nearest country contact. And you've got people calling and writing from everywhere. And so they can talk with their peers close by. And we don't advise what to do. We don't refer to this or that professional. We just help them find their own resources and share what we did. This is what I did in that situation.
Right.
Maybe it'll help.
Absolutely. But the network does provide national assistance for people.
They provide individual peers.
Right, I'm saying you locate, or you at least help the people from all across the country. Anyone from North America contact you.
Actually, we're worldwide. We've got contacts all over Europe, Australia, South America, Canada.
That's fantastic. Absolutely. And do you get a lot of responses from there?
And actually, in the past 2 or 3 months, I think maybe just since I've been doing this blog radio thing, we now get anywhere from 4 to 8 inquiries a day from all over.
That's great to hear.
That's an increase.
Absolutely. And so let's discuss some of the singular issues that are faced by the straight spouse. You know, in terms of what you're used to seeing and hearing, you know, what do straight spouses typically ask themselves?
Well, once the dust clears, they say, wasn't I woman enough or man enough to keep him? What's wrong with me sexually? And there's a great period of doubting their own sexuality, what's wrong, and some go berserk. They date like mad, or they take sexuality workshops, or that whole business of, well, what's wrong with me sexually that he would turn to a man rather than to me? You know, that's really, really, really a very serious thing. But they blame themselves all kinds of things. Maybe I wasn't attentive enough. Why is he going to the LG, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender? Why is he going to their community rather than me? Didn't I offer him enough? What? Ooh. So it's really, that sexuality issue is a very severe one, because it's gender and sexuality are mixed up together, and sexuality is so important, particularly if you're married.
Sure, and I'm sure it probably doesn't help any when there's children involved as well.
Yeah, and that's the other really another conflicting kind of thing. You lose your spouse because in most cases these marriages break up in a third of the cases they break up right away, and in another third they try to make it work over a year or so, and they just can't make it work. And another third are committed; they're convinced they can make it work, and half of them do. So I can say within 3 years, most of these couples end up divorced. Well, the straight spouse is conflicted because they are no longer a spouse, but they're still a co-parent with their husband or wife of their children.
Right.
And they want the children to feel loved in both homes. And they want the children, besides, they want the children to be able to withstand the homophobic comments that they pick up here and there. Even though if we're more liberated now, there'll be some persons who will say, oh, that's so gay. And the parents have to have the kids learn to say, hey, you're talking about my dad. You're talking about my mom. Stop it. So
absolutely.
There's this conflict with being a spouse and still a parent of somebody you've lost.
Well, and so how would you incorporate your own experience into some of these types of questions?
I don't particularly. I've heard from so many spouses. I've heard or read thousands and thousands, maybe 15, 20,000, that I can always bring to bear some experience that someone else has done that matches that person.
So you take along
and
a lot of the research that you've done?
Well, not just the research, just the talking. We have online, besides support groups and contacts, we have online groups where people can post any time, day or night, and get responses. And so I've heard it all, both sides. So it's like a database. People put in a question and up comes this answer that somebody said on some email months ago.
Well, it's probably good for you, too, as a reference to continuously use. And it's something that, I guess, the questions keep coming, and you just get more professional at it at that point.
You're right.
And so were all these questions, you know, about sexuality and, you know, the conflicts, were these questions that you faced yourself or that you seriously asked yourself?
Oh, yeah. And no, you don't do it explicitly, but I put ads in the paper so I could meet other men, and discovered, oh, that's how a straight man works. So you do it just naturally because you're so bereft and scared. And I took a sexuality workshop at an institute here in San Francisco. And, you know, there was documentation, there were pictures, documentaries, and training. And some go crazy, but I just tried to, you know, see what it was like because it apparently
right.
had been underused.
And so with the release of your books, now you have two separate books out right now, right?
Yes. Yep.
Sure. So the first one was The Other Side of the Closet.
And that was the book that I interviewed, I had talked with or had been correspondent about 450, and then I chose a much smaller number to interview and tape record and study and so forth. And that was to find out what are the common issues. And we've already talked about the sexuality one and the marriage one and the kids. Mm-hmm. And there were three others we can go into later, but that book was mainly on issues. The second book, which just was published 2013, is Unseen, Unheard, Straight
right.
Spouses from Trauma to Transformation. What I did there was, what it does is trace the coping stages from the first time you hear to when you're transformed into a whole new person. And what I did there was collect 5 years of emails and speeches and all kinds of things from, I forget how many spouses, up to 100 maybe, and put it all together so that anybody going through it or anybody going through trauma or a therapist can see what goes through, what comes out in words about your first cries, your wondering what to do, the tug of war between staying or going, and that sort of thing.
Absolutely. So there's definite variations from the first book to the second book.
It's definitely. It's very different. We introduce another spouse much younger than I. She went with me, and so they're introductions. But then you step into their shoes, because, and it's entitled Unseen, Unheard, because people's attention, and rightly so, is on the person who comes out, but they forget there's somebody else there in the background who is now thrust into the closet, and nobody understands them.
Absolutely. And so how does the book address that?
That's the whole point of the book, in the introduction. It is the whole point of the book. We're unseen, unheard. We're an untold chapter of gay liberation. It's very important to listen to them, because all the anti-gay stuff and pro one-man, one-woman marriage, that has put us straight spouses into the closet. And if you listen to us, maybe you'll back off and be a little more understanding of love and marriage and relationships.
And so where are these two books available for the public?
Oh, they can get them from any bookstore or from Amazon.
Oh, at Amazon.com, that's great.
Yeah, yeah. And The Other Side of the Closet has a new publisher, which is called Turner. So I have to double-check that it's still available through Turner. The original publisher sold it to somebody else, surprisingly. And but it should be there, and any bookstore can get it.
Okay. And for our listeners just joining us, I'm with Amity Buxton of the Straight Spouse Network, and the website is www.straightspouse.org. And I'm actually on your site right now, Amity, and you know, it's incredible the many ways that you guys do offer such support and the questions on here. I mean, you guys cover a wide gamut of questioning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We've heard it all, and it's kind of rough. It's rough on the kids. It's rough on families don't understand. Some families do. If people are in a very conservative faith community, for example, people take sides.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And how do you guys go about that then? I mean, in terms of, you know, not so much, you know, do people come right out to you and say, I need answers, like, this is what I need from you, or do you just pretty much say, this is where you can get the help? You know, we've heard it all,
well,
we can talk to
up.
You, you can...
Yeah. Well, if they call me, if they call any of us, we listen and share our experience.
Sure.
We don't offer professional advice or tell them what to do. That's sort of one of our rules. But we can refer them to resources. There's lots of books listed and research articles listed on the website. The best thing is just really and truly peer support, just as with Alcoholics Anonymous, you know.
Right.
Peer support does it. And another goal we have is to educate therapists. Many therapists do not understand this situation, see it like any old divorce. They don't understand the sexuality issues and the self-identity. Your self-concept goes out the window because you feel like
right.
such a complete failure.
So can we take a moment to discuss what the staff of the organization is? Who comprises
sure.
this fascinating network that helps people? I mean, you know, it's
okay.
To provide such a service globally just sounds big, you know, and very difficult. I could imagine you have to have an exceptional staff.
Well, the staff doesn't do it. The volunteer straight spouses all over the world, they do the work. But the staff coordinates
great.
Their work. The staff coordinates. So there's someone that coordinates all the communication. So, you know, we're all saying the same thing. Outreach. By outreach, what we do is build bridges with other organizations working in this area, either helping gays or lesbians coming out or working for equality and justice. Then we have unfortunately, we were really low in our budget last year, so we had to raise more funds. But usually we have a support coordinator who keeps in touch with all these group facilitators. We have 57 groups and run by one or two facilitators. Keep them in touch, you know, keep them, you know, support them, find out what they're doing, get the information out. We have someone in charge of education. So there's a staff person in charge of the finances, when we have enough money for that, the finances
Absolutely.
And the communication, the education, the support, and the collaboration.
So this is a non-for-profit organization, correct?
It's a non-profit. And, yes, and we had a nice challenge campaign in December. Somebody, anonymous person, said that he or she would give $15,000 if we could raise it. We raised $18,000. Donations from
wow.
$1 to $5. Can you imagine? $1
That's
to $5.
Incredible.
They just scrape the barrel. And so, yeah. So, but it's the volunteers do most of the work, but you do need somebody, an infrastructure.
Absolutely.
To make it work.
Absolutely. And so do you guys do charity events or anything like that to try to build up some funds for this? Or how do you guys typically acquire
We don't have the people power. We don't have the people power. We try to find every year I get some kind of a grant from a local person. Sometimes in our support groups, sometimes they'll have a little box out for people to throw in a dollar or two. But we don't have that person power, people power, which is kind of too bad.
Absolutely. And again, as I'm going through your site here, you know, I'm seeing the various locations of the face-to-face support groups. Can we discuss that a little bit? Why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, what goes on at these group meetings and what exactly
okay.
the support group is?
Okay, I'm holding mine tonight, as a matter of fact. So they're held in the same place, sometimes a home, sometimes a library, but pretty private. And they come, and the rules are no gay bashing, no telling people what to do, no telling people what's going to happen next. We're just there to support you and to listen. If you want to bash, bash the behavior, but not the gayness.
Right.
And so newcomers tell their whole story. Oldcomers who have been there from anywhere from 1 to 5 years, they love to come back. They talk about their progress. One person will come in and be in absolute tears and not know the story. A year later, they're back telling their story, helping some new buddy. It's just fascinating. So they just tell their stories and we listen. And then if they ask for advice, the others give it. But it ends up being very much like a family. And
sure.
People say, you know, I tried this book called The Artist's Way, and it really was helpful. Why don't you try it? Oh, so next person will try it and come back and say, oh, that's perfect.
That's great. So it really is a group effort to get everybody to the same level.
Not to the same level. To their own level. That's
no,
what
to,
we,
okay.
You know, you
sure.
Yeah, yeah. Eventually, they'll all be transformed into somebody they hardly ever thought they'd be. It's very interesting. Very, very interesting.
And so you have, how many people typically run the sessions or the meetings? Is there one main person that acts as the leader?
Yeah, there's usually one facilitator, and in about half these groups, there's maybe somebody else. For instance, in my book, my group, there's one guy that sends out all the invitations, another guy mm-hmm. that comes and brings the coffee and tea and goodies, and another one that pitches in when I can't be there.
Okay. And then typically when it comes to, you know, more of the question side of things, is there a number of people that are involved in the meeting that makes it too overwhelming to kind of get everyone into that level, or is everyone pretty much, are there set
no.
numbers?
It's so interesting because, again, it's a team effort. We were running
right.
into people's stories going on too long, and someone said, oh, let's have a timekeeper. I'll keep time, and let's divide it up. And then people would tell their story, and then I'd say, who'd like to come next? Then some group member said, oh, why don't we pick the person to follow us? So it becomes very much group-centered.
And do people ever kind of get, do the topics ever get heated, or do people ever disagree on certain things, and, you know, does somebody have mm-hmm. to mediate in that level?
No, there are no right answers.
That's good. And you find that people typically come in understanding that?
Well, they learn it soon enough.
And are there agendas behind these meetings? Do you guys follow any...
No.
You know, does the Straight Spouse Network have any particular outline of, you know, the meeting
no.
for the most part?
No. No. No, it's all done by the personality of the group and the leader. Usually you give the ground rules first so they know.
Mm-hmm.
No interruptions, no crosstalk if possible. But they sort of make up their own rules.
Sure. Do you guys have time limits on this?
Well, it depends on the leader. Our group goes from mm-hmm. 7:30 to 10 the fourth Tuesday of every month. If it needs to go on, it will. It's very flexible. It's very,
mm-hmm.
very centered on those individuals and what they need. And then some go out afterwards for a drink or a bite.
Sure. But it definitely sounds
and
like
then
the
in
goal
between,
is to... Yes.
In between, because you're about to say that you do create a social unit.
Absolutely.
So in between meetings, there's always a social event. The members organize it themselves. Either they go take a hike together, or they go have dinner together, or they created it themselves.
That's great. And I'm sure, again, everyone leaves with that relief, the relief almost of just having multiple ears at that point to listen to their story.
Exactly, and to say, I'm not alone. I'm not crazy.
Right. And that definitely sounds like it's one of the big parts of the Straight Spouse Network and how incredible it can be to actually provide that help to people.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, Amity, we are running out of time for this week.
Uh-oh.
But I do want to thank you for coming on today, and I want to thank our audience. And you will be back in 2 weeks from today, correct?
Yes, with pleasure.
All right. Well, I look forward to it. And from everyone here at CMC Radio, this is Rob May saying we'll see you next time. Have a great day.